So now I think the most important thing is who gets to say the dumb thing at the beginning of the episode, or is this the beginning of the episode?
I feel like this could be the beginning of the episode.
I think so too. So hi
Great.
everyone, I'm Rachel.
I'm Danae.
And we don't know what we're, no, we're strolling through stairwells.
Yes, we are strolling through stairwells while not knowing what we're doing.
Right.
Bringing it all together, guys.
The universe just could not stop us from making podcasts.
No. It all comes back. You know, we're magnets coming back together.
Okay, tangent, because I know we love these tangents. But I saw a YouTube video a while back about the, I think it was Apollo 12 third stage, where it was shot into space, but they did it wrong. So every 30 or 40 years, it comes back into Earth's orbit for a little bit and then leaves again.
That's cute. I
It's
feel
like
like
our
that's right.
podcasting.
I feel like they did it right. That's right. We're Apollo 13,
Think it was 12. I could be wrong,
12.
though.
Apollo 12. 12 is a great age to be, not even gonna lie. It's also the worst age to be.
Yeah,
12 is
like.
like on the cusp of teenagehood, but like you're no longer a child and everything is more confusing than it needs to be.
You're at that point where everyone ex is expecting you to be more adult than a child, but you're still a child. And also, a lot of people are expecting you to be just a child, but then also you have adult responsibilities almost. Like, remember being 12? And can you imagine that they're making new kids go through that same thing now?
I feel like if there was an age for like get wrecked, it'd be 12. 12 and 18.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first posts that I reblogged on Tumblr when I went back to Tumblr was, please be nice to me. I'm in my mid-20s. You don't know what that does to a person. And I feel like it's always going to be relevant.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I have my topic.
Okay, great.
Just came out of my the middle of nowhere. And can I go first
Yeah,
because I'm
let's
gonna
do it.
forget. Okay, so I want to talk about, I feel like we've already kind of like branched on the subject, but like I feel like there's a lot that I've like there's a lot of growth that I've done in the past like year and a half. Like
Yeah.
I would say that like we go through a lot of like changes, you know, as we're changing from like children's to adults or children, babies to children and children to young adults. And I say, you can see you're struggling, but we're gonna continue on like it's not happening. Babies to children and then children to young adults and then from young adults into like full grown adults. Because honestly, people don't treat you like you're an adult until you're 30.
Oh, yeah.
Really well and truly. And I would say that like the most volatile change, but over the course of a long period of time, was from age 11 to 18. And then I mellowed out. And I thought that I was done. Psych.
Yep.
I would say that it'd be the equivalent of like maybe 5 years of my teenage, of like going through teenage puberty, like happening within the last year. From 2020 till now, I've had like rapid fire growth spurts in terms of like emotional and mental growth.
Yeah, I have always heard that your brain doesn't stop maturing until you're 25, so that could
Yep.
definitely be a part of it.
This ain't good because we still got another year.
Yeah, I'm getting close to that, and it does also kind of make me worried. Like, is this the brain I'm always going to have?
No, but I feel like that's great
I
in
know.
some ways. So when I was taking my is it my what was it called again? Developmental health developmental psychology. So when you're a baby and like you're learning how to do things, you're is it ambidextrous when you can use both hands?
Yeah.
You're ambidextrous to begin with. It's through sight and practice that you become one-handed. And some people can retain both hands, right? But mainly people who are dominant in the left or dominant in the right. And it's more it's like it has to do with what you're comfortable with, but it also has to do with the fact that you're surrounded by a lot of right-handed people. And so you'll be attempting to do things with your right hand because that's how they are unconsciously teaching you how to do it. And like there are things that like people like babies do, like don't know how to crawl, you have to your brain like will send electronic signals from like, okay, we have to move this body part to get to this area, so on and so forth. And that's how you learn how to crawl, walk, so on and so forth. When you stop doing that activity, the brain no longer sends electricity through that, like, I don't remember what it's called, but like it
The
doesn't send
pathway.
like that pathway
Yeah.
anymore. And so eventually, since you don't need it, you lose it. It will just like deteriorate. You'll stop using it,
Yeah.
so it stops working, kind of thing. Which is why babies are like in the first like 5 years of their life, like they are learning so much in that rapid fire time. And like sometimes they lose like the long route to get to there, but you can get from point A to B. Like you'll forget how you learn how to speak, but you'll still be able to speak,
Right.
kind of thing. And I thought that was like a really cool tidbit. And so I'm pretty sure that still happens as you get older, but like just not in the same like gravitational kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
And the path is probably a lot longer because there's less connections from point A to B. But yeah, what were we talking about?
We were talking about growth in the last few years, and like the I hesitate to say like the final stages of physical maturity, but that's like kind of like what we were talking about. Like you're going from being a child to being an adult, and now suddenly having suddenly understanding why adults sometimes don't feel like going anywhere or doing anything. Like
Oh
little
my
things like
gosh.
that.
Oh no. Would you say, because we're not there yet, but maybe we can look
No, we're
back at
not.
this and think about it. Like, would you say that there's another growth period? I think that happens, I would say, from the age of 45 to 55.
Maybe. I mean, I'd have to pay some attention.
Because I feel like at that point, because like in terms of like physical capabilities, like you get less dexterous as you get older. Like 20s are an iconic time because you can rebuild your body basically
Oh,
off of
yeah.
nothing and like rapid fire do it. Like you can rebuild it, destroy it, and rebuild it again in a 10-year span of time, and it's not gonna be like nothing. I mean, it'll be like worse than if you did it like between 10 and 20, but it will won't be as bad as we did between 50 and 60, because at that point your bones are more brittle, so on and so brittle, brittle, bristle, brittle. Which
I
word is
think
that?
brittle. I think
Brittle.
brittle. Yeah.
Like there's a lot, like I don't know much about like the health part of it, but like we all understand that like you're not going to get better at regenerating things as you get older.
Right.
That's
Because
not
you don't need to. Hopefully. I mean, there's a reason why all these professional athletes, like we talked about in a previous episode, are all in their 20s or even younger.
Yep, the recovery time is just so much shorter
And
at
as you
this
get
age.
older, like the part of you that becomes more and more valuable is your mind and your experience. I do wonder,
Wow. That's a
like, I
statement right there.
to take it a little bit further, I wonder if the way our society is set up right now, it accentuates that even further. Like, I would say neither of us are particularly valuable for what our bodies can do, but much more for what our brains can do.
I would beg to differ. I feel like
Okay.
we're still in the age where our value provides or physical bodies provide more value than our mind does. Like they encourage you, right, to go through school and to do all these other things, but like even after you exit school, you still need 2 to 3 years of experience before they actually hire you for jobs that pay like a decent amount of money, kind of
Yeah.
thing. I feel like we are basically grunts. From
Yeah.
17 to like 25. And then after that point, they assume you have enough head knowledge based upon like work portfolios and degrees and other things to be like a contributing member of society. There's a lot of like.
I was gonna try to counter that, but then I realized that my counter actually played into your argument more. Like, I was gonna talk about, oh, I'm a musician, and everything about being a musician is because I know this stuff, but then I realized that my real job as a musician is to lug my gear around. Like that's really what I'm being paid for.
People start paying to lug your gear around for you, you've made it.
Wouldn't that just be awesome? But right now I'm not a I can't think of any famous guitar players other than Slash right now. But I'm not a Slash or a David Gilmour or a James Hetfield yet. I still have to lug
Rob,
my own gear.
what's his name? Rob.
Rob Scallon?
Yes.
I think Rob Scallon probably lugs his own gear still.
Maybe so, but he carries around like a lot of like strange to the American society instruments. But he's cool. Love
I don't
him.
know if you've seen his recent videos, but they're all so good.
No, I have not. But thank you for introducing me to him. That was
Oh
amazing.
man. He just did a video with JHS where they ran every single Boss metal pedal into the same crate combo amp. It's hilarious because, for the record, you're only supposed to use one of them. And it has basically about the same effect as putting 10 times the amount of salt into a dish that you're supposed to. It just completely ruins it, but it sounds hilarious.
Let me just point out that you are slowly but surely trying to introduce me to this world of technology for like guitars and all
Oh
these other
yeah.
things. Like I will not be tricked. I can see through what you're doing. But let's stop. Stop. Stop it right now. Put that down.
Podcast, I'm holding up a guitar amplifier.
You better stop.
Yeah, I've only got two guitar amplifiers in the room right now.
Good. Less things for you to like, what's it, flow through the same thing or whatever.
I'll have to tell you about my pedal board. Oh man, my pedal board is so cool. I got a volume pedal with an effects loop, and then in the effects loop, I have my gain, and I've got my wah, and then I got a foot switch for the amplifier. I could do a whole topic on that.
I dislike that I know enough to know what you're talking about, but not enough to really understand. I dislike that. And I don't know if I want to know less or know more. I don't know where I want to go with that. But let me wrap up my topic real quick so that we
Yeah.
can go on to your topic. I don't want to like take up the entire time. I'm not like bougie like that. Anyways.
You can't afford all my time.
Are you calling me poor? You're right. Anyways.
I couldn't afford my hourly rate either.
As it should be. I would say that I feel like when you're like I feel like the reason why physics changes when you're going through like teenagehood into young adulthood is so like rapid fire and volatile is because when you're like a young kid, you learn about your emotions and how to control them in some way, shape, fashion, and form. Like the baby, she's really young. I'm not even gonna go out here telling her age, but she's really young and she doesn't understand how to control her emotions. When she's happy, she's vicariously happy. When she's sad, it's like the whole world is melting around her. Like when she's angry, she's volatile in her anger. Like there's a lot of like not there's she's not like if there was a spectrum, she's on either side of the spectrum for anything, right? And as you get like a bit older, like you're encouraged through classroom and through society and through seeing other people not acting the way that you're acting to kind of level it out. So instead of having like you still have the entire range, but you go between 10 and 30 instead of 100 or 0 to 100 kind of thing. And that's just kind of like where your scale is. Like some people are higher up, some people are lower down, and that's just like you normalize that, and then you go through a lot of physical and mental and emotional changes during your teenagehood, and like everything's out of whack. And you don't notice it at first, but like people will be noticing that your anger spikes easily, or you get super sad all the time, or all these other things. Like it's very easy for other people outside of you to see it, but for you, you're just existing. You're doing what you're doing, just like how a baby doesn't notice that they're existing and doing what they're doing, but they're being extreme. And I feel like I went through that.
Yeah.
I feel like I went through that again this past 2 years.
So do you think you've stabilized a bit then?
I think I'm just outside of a wave. I feel
Okay.
like it's been coming in like a lot of like waves of like she's just emotions. Like when COVID first started happening, I was like on a high for a bit because like everything was burning down around us, but like I was okay. And because of that, like I was like, you know, a bit like I was like, okay, we can make it through, we can do all these things, it's out in the fourth, and then like some chat happened and I just like I self-blurred myself. That's funny. Sorry. Some stuff happened and like my high went crashing down, but like I was okay, you know, like I didn't plummet. I just kind of leveled out to back at normal standards, I would say. And then some more bad stuff happened and I was trying to like still keep a positive mindset, but it felt more like I was sinking while trying, like I felt like I was in a sinkhole. Like I was trying to pull myself up and the more I tried is the further down I went and the faster it happened. And then like after all of that went down, I was just like so angry. I was so mad. And I couldn't like understand my anger. I just knew that I was mad and like anything would set me off, anything at all. And I would know that this wasn't like okay, but I would just not be able to control the amount of like the amount of emotions that would just like burst at any moment. And I felt so out of my body. It was like an out of body experience while being in there. Like I knew it was happening because I've experienced it once before. And also because like I'm more self-aware than like I was at my teenage stage, and definitely more than I was at my young like child stage. And yeah, I just kind of like come to that realization this week that I'm really not okay. But I feel a lot better than I did when I was super angry. Like I'm past the angry stage and I'm just like, am I going through the five stages of grief? What comes next?
Oh dear.
And I'm kind of like wary too because I'm like, okay, if I'm just going through all these emotions, I've done happiness, I've done sadness, I've done anger, what else is there to do? And do I want to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, do you feel like your emotions are just gonna do whatever they're gonna do, regardless of what's going on in the world, and you're just there for the ride, or is it something like, do you think there's things actually causing it? Because for me, I've had the feeling sometimes like my emotions are just gonna do whatever they're gonna do, and then my brain will make my experiences fit with what I was gonna feel anyways.
Run it by me one more time.
Okay. So sometimes it kind of feels like my brain has already made up its mind what it's going to feel, and then it just interprets the emotional stimuli to get the result that it wanted. Like when I'm predisposed to feel happy, nothing will get in the way of that. And when I'm predisposed to feel sad, then nothing can cheer me up. Like, do you feel that kind of thing sometimes?
Definitely, yeah, no, that's totally like understandable. Like in between all the anger and sadness and like trying to get out of like that distress, there was a lot of self-pity. I had like a week of self-pity. I want to say it was a little more than that, maybe a little less. I don't know. For self-pity, I shut that down fast. I feel like the fastest way to destroy yourself is to just start pitying yourself. And I feel like I also feel like there's a lot of like there's an opposite to that where if you don't give yourself any amount of grace, I feel like self-pity is you're giving your grace to yourself. You're saying like, okay, this didn't turn out right and I feel bad about it and I'm not okay. But if you keep playing into that, like I feel like it's just a slippery slope that just keeps going further and further down.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you're climbing a mountain and then you realize that if you had worked out more before you were climbing the mountain, that you'd be able to go up faster and easier. Do you just give up climbing the mountain
Of course not.
because you didn't prep well? That's what self-pity is.
Yeah.
And honestly, like you don't want to climb anymore because if you had done a better job preparing yourself for the situation that you didn't know you were going to be in, right? Like there, like you knew you were going to climb the mountain, but you didn't know that this exact spot was where you would need more upper body strength than you need lower body strength that you've been working on. You know, like you didn't know that. Or the opposite of it, where you thought you had to have all upper body strength because it's a lot of pulling yourself up, and then your lower body wasn't strong enough to continue on the progress, and you're like, I didn't know I would need this artillery to survive. And how
Luckily,
few
though, just to go along with that analogy, you'll get stronger as you keep going anyways. Like
this is
sometimes
true.
you just need to take a little break and then come back stronger. You'll
That,
build
but
those
you
muscles.
I don't know. But see, like with self-pity, like you don't see that. You don't see the overall picture. You're super zoomed in on the one thing that's not working right now. So I really like sometimes I give myself a moment to just be like, everything is burning down around me, and that's okay. And I feel like self-pity and anger is a terrible mix because I feel like self-pity can happen at any given point in time. Like there's no like this is the scenario and then I fall into pity kind of thing. It's more like whatever I'm feeling, there might be some self-pity that just jumps in at me at any given point. And like I was feeling self-pity and anger, and that's when you start blaming people for stuff.
That's dangerous.
That's dangerous. Cause you're like, there's like I did what I could have done. And you did do what you could have done. So why isn't things working out? Probably John's fault.
Of course, it was
Probably.
John. It's always John.
Bruh, it's always John. John and Avery, they be out here doing stuff. And see, you know, we can laugh about it now because it's not in the moment happening, but like it's really strong
Oh,
emotions,
yeah.
you know?
And this is what metacognition does to you.
What is metacognition?
Oh man. Oh, this could be a whole topic on its own. But it's just thinking about your thinking and making decisions about are these thoughts helpful or not? And it you don't have to completely weed out the unhelpful thoughts, but just having that moment of thinking, is this thought process helping me or hurting me? It can be such a powerful tool for shaping your mental state.
Yeah. I feel like another level to that, like even if you think about it, if it's helping or hurting you, like you can think about that because I've been thinking about whether things have been helpful or harmful towards me since like I want to say seven or not seven, I scratched that 11. But like, do you do anything about it?
Right.
Is the next level up? Because I can be like, this is bad and just sit in the fire.
Yeah. But with thinking, it is a little bit more difficult than just getting out of the fire because you're always going to have thoughts that are harmful or don't help you. I think the trick with that is recognizing first which bucket each thought goes into. And then over time, you can realize or catch yourself thinking something harmful and then realize part way through, oh, this isn't actually helpful for me to think about. I don't actually believe this. And it's one of those things where you wouldn't think it would help as much as it does, but it really does.
Going off of that. Oh, dang it. I had some words. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, metacognition is just one of those. I mean, it sounds mostly like a therapy buzzword, but it's such a powerful tool. And I just think more people should know that you can think about thoughts and you don't have to be super judgmental about it.
Where do you so would you say, right, that like thoughts versus physical activity, like completely separate things? Now, can a fantasy be harmful? Is my question.
Depends.
I feel like what like separates us from like other beings and mammals and everything that's existing is that we can have like these progressive thoughts and we can build scenarios in our minds, right, of things happening. And like we can call it whatever you want to call it, but like I think about what I want to do tomorrow and I plan out my entire day and I can tell you like word for word, I can tell you like physically where things are and all those other things. And then like tomorrow happens and I make that happen because it's just easier because I've already seen it happen in my brain.
Yeah, that's super
Now,
useful.
would you say that that kind of fantasy, but not in a like, I'm doing this like, but more in like a romanticizing a bad thing kind of way over the years will make it easier for you to commit such things.
I think maybe. I mean, I think there also has to be room to realize that not everything you think is going to turn into an action. But if your thinking legitimizes an action that you would not want to do, but that's not great.
I don't know. Like because for me, I feel like all of my thoughts, now it could just be me, like, you know, existing in my brain and doing things, but like, I feel like all of my thoughts, like, slowly but surely, like, come to life in different ways. And like, I can see it happening and I'll put like a stop to the ones that I'm like, we don't really want that to happen right there. No, that's not
Yeah.
okay. But like, I feel like when you're thinking about something so deeply, like, your brain will. You like your brain will okay. So there's like lots of different moving parts to make something happen. And you don't necessarily not all those parts necessarily like coincide in your brain with like this goes towards this kind of thing, but you can use a tool to do multiple things. You can use a screwdriver to build a something. Sorry, screwdriver is a bad example.
I mean, you can use screwdrivers to build all sorts of things.
You
I
but
mean, you
like
probably need more than a screwdriver,
you
but.
know, but like just because you know how to use one thing doesn't mean you're gonna do another kind of thing. But once you
Right.
have enough knowledge of how to do all these other things that you didn't notice came together into this one thing, your brain's also like simultaneously, we could also do this. And you're like, what happened? And
Yeah.
I feel like that happens more than not. Like, I don't really notice that things are progressing in a way that they're progressing until I've already gathered all the tools to do that. I've gathered the ingredients to make the pie kind of thing. And I'm just like,
I can't tell you how many times I'll be in a social situation where my brain will just suggest to me, oh, you should say or do this toxic thing. And I have to go, no, that's a terrible idea. But
don't
I
know. I
do
feel like,
think that these things happen and you have to be aware of it. And you have to be able to entertain thoughts without letting them define who you are.
I feel like the ability to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, right? Because hypothetical thoughts are basically somebody else's thoughts because you're not doing them yourself, is a great tool that can be used in many situations and is a key thing in like negotiations per se. You'd have to be able to understand things from someone else's perspective to put it into a form that would make them think, ah, yes, I'm getting what I want, even when you're not, kind of thing. And I feel like I'm just a great negotiator at this point because your girl up here. It's not the same one as out here. Okay, thank you.
Relatable.
But yeah, I think I'm done talking now.
Okay. You want to talk about some controversy?
Yes, I'm always ready for it.
Okay.
No, I'm not actually, but I'm ready for this one event. I'm ready.
Okay, this one also mostly has a bow wrapped on it. It's not completely over, but Wizards of the Coast, oh boy, they messed up. They messed up big time.
Let's first talk about, I think, Wizards of the Coast. Are they a podcast?
They are the company behind Dungeons and Dragons and some other things, but mostly
Oh,
Dungeons and Dragons.
what have they done?
Oh man, they do so many bad things, you know. They
So
make,
many.
okay, that might be an exaggeration. They've made a lot of mistakes, particularly recently.
Okay.
So for a while, they've done this thing called the Open Game License, where
Okay.
the basic rules of D&D are free. They are available to anyone to build expansions or custom content. And you can sell or share your D&D custom content under the Open Game License so that you don't have to worry about legal action from Wizards of the Coast taking down your products just because you want to sell a custom adventure or a custom Book of Monsters or whatever, which is really good for the community, especially a community like Dungeons and Dragons, where the entire game is based around custom content, using your imagination, homebrew everything. Like, I could probably sell a lot of the stuff that I make for my own campaign if I tidied it up, made some art. Maybe I could sell it for a few bucks. So this is great. Except for the fact that they really tried hard to ruin it.
What? Was someone doing really good and they were like, no?
Well, more like the opposite.
Oh.
They or what they claimed. Let's start with what they claimed, and then we'll talk about what actually was going on.
Okay.
They claimed that they needed to start putting limits on the open game license because, as it is, you could make whatever you want with it. So they said, hey, we need to protect people and we need to make sure that no bigoted content gets licensed under this. Like, we got to stamp out the racism and homophobia and all this stuff. And the only way to do that is to take away your rights. So you can't actually license this stuff anymore and we can revoke it. And also, if you make a certain amount of money, then we can take your royalties from it. And oh, also, by the way, we're doing this thing where no one else is allowed to do a virtual tabletop. So no websites can run D&D except for our website. But we don't want you to think about that. We want you to think about how we're protecting you from all this bigoted content that doesn't exist except for the stuff that we made. But don't remember that, please.
Okay,
There's a lot to
and
unpack there.
there is. It was getting progressively worse, as you said. Okay, so what actually happened? Like,
So Dungeons and Dragons, I think they realize as a brand, they're not like nickel and diming their customers enough. Because as it is
oh.
right now, you buy a book, like one of these wonderful books behind me, you buy the book, and then you can play the game. And that's like $40 if you don't buy it on sale, $20 if you buy it on sale, like most people do. And that is all the money they see from you. While meanwhile, people are spending loads of money on third-party content or subscriptions to virtual websites that will run D&D for you because the rules are all like free and available. So they can't do anything to stop that because of the choices that they made in the past. So they wanted to severely limit the rights of this third-party content so they
So
could
that
sell
more
their own.
traffic could go through D&D. Okay, I understand.
And the idea would be, instead of you going to third-party websites, you go to their website, buy their content and they make all the money and sell you all the digital stuff. So that way, instead of buying one book, you might have a subscription service that is basically D&D that you pay monthly for.
Which is dumb.
It's really dumb because it's not a game that was designed to work that way.
Yeah.
This is a game that was designed in what, the 80s or something? I don't even remember. But it's big on 80s nostalgia. It is a game that's primarily in your imagination, and you can run on the internet with just a Discord server and Google Docs. But it is really popular to have websites like D&D Beyond or Roll20 or these other virtual tabletop sort of things. I don't think D&D Beyond is a full virtual tabletop yet, but the idea is that it's a website that runs D&D for you, so you don't have to do it yourself. And it's big money because people don't want to go through all the work to actually play D&D as it was originally envisioned, because that just takes effort. And Wizards of the Coast has realized that they can take a bigger cut, basically, of the market by forcing everyone to go through them. And they just needed to find a way to convince people to be okay with it. And the way they did that was by claiming that they were rolling back these licensing rights in order to stop bad content,
Are
which
we
didn't
using
really
and
exist.
abusing a minority community for money? Oh, that's so cute. We love that.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention the fact that they had just got in a lot of hot water for releasing, like, very, I want to say blatantly racist, but it's more like thinly veiled racist stuff, like where they were basically just using orcs as a stand-in for minorities. And yeah, it's as bad as you can imagine. And they got thoroughly berated for it, which is great to see. But they then turned around and said that they needed to deauthorize the open gaming license in order to stop this from happening, despite the fact that they were the ones who created it in the first place.
Now, has there been a changing of guards at Wizards of the Coast recently?
I don't think
Or within the
recently.
past like 10 years?
Yeah, definitely within the past 10 years, I think. Because
Okay,
it's owned by Hasbro now, which should
they
tell you
should.
all you need to know.
Who's Hasbro?
The toy company.
Hasbro.
Yeah, they're a toy company.
It just looks so familiar in my head, but I can't like picture a logo.
Yeah, you probably know them without realizing you know them. They're one of those big
Probably
corporations.
Hasbro. That's so familiar. I can see it in my mind. Yeah, it's definitely. If their logo's in my mind, then they're obviously a big deal.
They're a big deal.
But in the worst ways right now, like, what are you guys doing over there? Oh my God. Sell the company. Sell the company. Somebody who could use it properly. Thank you.
Yeah. So the response to this has basically been people saying, why the heck do these people own D&D? D&D should be open and free to everyone because that is the original spirit of this game and this hobby. So a whole bunch of this.
Yes, shame them into selling it. Shame them. Shame them into giving
I don't think that's what's going to
it
happen. It's
away
not
to
going to
the people.
happen.
No. Why? Shame them.
So
I'm
a bunch of the
encouraging
third
this.
party companies got together
Hi.
and started their own version of D&D, or like a new license to replace the OGL, basically saying, we don't need you, Wizards of the Coast. Like, go bother someone else. And Wizards of the Coast backed down on everything.
Wow.
They pull.
Because if it worked, they would lose all their business.
Oh, yeah.
All of it. And you gotta think, like, if they wanted to think about like pro if it's purely from a profit perspective, right? If I come out with like, because it if it did work, the bullying into making everybody use their site more and everything else, like if it did work. We're talking like at least another 10 years before like the profits really start to roll in, because you have to discourage it and then not do anything for a hot second so it doesn't look like you're doing something, and then roll something out. And if it goes well, right, the profits maybe happen in the next 5 years. Not so well, you can extend that time period to like maybe another 8, 9 years of it, right? But if some other company pops up out of the middle of nowhere and is
Huh.
like, they're doing something shady, come over here, especially
Yep.
in this market, please, where cancel culture is all of 2 years ago,
Oh, it never
still current,
died.
please. Please. They would never survive. Not in this day and
Yeah.
age and economy. No, they would never survive.
See, there was already a D&D competitor game called Pathfinder that had been building momentum for years, and apparently they sold out their entire most recent printing of their rule book over this d debate.
They sold it out?
Yeah, everyone was buying
Oh, I
their
see.
rule
They
book.
bought
So
it. I understand. I
yeah,
understand.
so the entire printing of the rule book sold out.
They gambled. It was a bad gamble. Anybody who like knows anything about the past 5 years, 6 years, 10 years could have told them that. They need to hire new people. First off, your current guard is old. Fire them and hire new people. And secondly, stop messing with the people.
I mean,
Leave us
it's not just
alone.
that, but it's who they are messing with. They're messing with Dungeons and Dragons players. These are people who are highly passionate about the hobby, who
Or they wouldn't
play,
be here.
yeah, we play games that are difficult for fun. And the entire book is basically, or the entire game, I mean, is read these rule books, memorize all these arcane rules, literally arcane, and turn them into a game. So if you thought that these sorts of people were gonna just
Wouldn't read
roll
the fine
over,
print? Come
yeah,
on now.
exactly. That's
Come
all we
on.
do.
It fell on their part. Round of applause.
So they released the standard rule. They released the SRD, standard rule document, I think is what that stands for. But they released the basic rules of D&D under a Creative Commons license to make sure that this will never happen again, which is massive props for that.
That's HBO, H-Bros, Hasbros.
Hasbro.
Okay, cool. I think we should end on a nicer note than this.
Yeah, we got 47 seconds.
47 seconds. Okay, so yesterday, random thought. Rest yesterday, I brought some ping. Oh my Jesus. Yesterday, I bought some Pringles because I wanted fries, but I couldn't get fries. So I bought Pringles and we were like on a road trip. And I get home, it's like 10 o'clock and I'm dead because I was up until like 3 a.m. yesterday. So I grabbed my coffee cup that had coffee earlier in the day that I thought I finished, and I threw it in my bag and I ran into the house.
Oh
And this
no.
morning I'm looking for my chips, and like the can is soaked. It's a Pringles can. It's soaked with coffee. And I was distressed, but I was on my way to work. So I just took the coffee can out, put it on the floor to let it dry, and then went to work. I came back and the coffee can is still like soggy on the outside, but like apparently Pringles cans have like two layers, the outside cardboard.